The question was asked, should we be looking for signs? I woke up this morning, 5 minutes before the alarm clock. That means I'm going to be successful today. I tried starting the car, it wouldn't start. Obviously, I wasn't meant to go for that job interview. So, this is a dangerous thing to be discussing. Because people are very, very convinced that they know what God wants of them. But before discussing this, I want to bring a few stories. There was a man, very pious man, good man. He actually had a vision where God spoke to him more than once. And then one time he decided he's going to do the opposite of the vision he saw. And as he was traveling in the opposite direction that the vision told him, he saw signs that he would be exceptionally successful. This man's name was Jonah. Heard Jonah? Yonah ben Amittai? So Yonah ben Amittai is our prophet. Miraculous boy resurrected from the dead by the prophet Elisha. And that's the boy we read about 2 weeks ago in the Haftarah. And God tells him to go prophesy for the city of Nineveh. And he runs in the opposite direction. And when he gets to the port, the ship that he wanted to board was 3 days' journey out of the port. And abnormal winds threw it back into the port. And so Jonah said, wow, that's a sign. I'm going in the right direction. Even God wants me to do what I'm doing. Second story. We just learned in the book of Shoftim, the book of Judges, there was a man named Micha. He set up an idol and he was looking for a priest. And in walks in a Levite, the grandson of Moshe Rabbeinu. And so Micha says, this is a sign. Obviously, I'm doing what's right. Look at what God sent my way. The grandson of Moshe Rabbeinu, a Levite, to be my priest. What's a better sign than that? So sometimes you see the Tanakh seems to be mocking. It's as though the Tanakh purposely sent that sentence in there. Remember, people lived and said many sentences. And the prophets chose, or the Torah chose, which sentences to quote. We think of Avram and Sarah, for example. Think of how many millions of words they said in their lifetime. How many does the Torah quote us? A total of 10 sentences? 15 sentences. That's what we know from them. And the Torah doesn't quote every other conversation. It's quoting what the Torah wanted us to know about them, what we're supposed to learn from. So the Navi bothers to quote about how Micha said, wow, now I know things are going to go right because I have a Levite to be my Kohen, to be my priest. So I always felt the Navi was throwing in some irony, being a little bit cynical, telling us, look at that. Look, learn from that. So I'm beginning with one side of it, and that is we have to be careful. We have a biblical prohibition. Lo tenachashu. Do not be superstitious. Do not say a black cat crossed my path. I'm not going down that road. So we cannot make decisions based on superstitions. And we have a whole siman in the Shulchan Aruch and the Codex going through this. We have a whole chapter in the Tosefta and Shabbos that discusses this. We have a lot on this. So it's a biblical commandment not to be superstitious. So where do signs come in? So the truth is that we have to discuss at length what is a sign. But we'll skip that for now. If you want, we'll get back to it later. Our assumption is that we don't know when God is looking and making something happen this way or that way, but that there are times that a person is given a certain sign. And we find that in Tanakh as well. We find that all over. Chazal point that out to us throughout the Tanakh. And what are we to make of it? So the formula is as follows. When a person thinks he sees something that's a sign, he may not make a decision based on that. He can consider that direction based on that. meaning let's say you were about to enter your car and the car did not start. You would not be allowed to say, I'm not going to that job interview because obviously God doesn't want me to go because the car didn't start. But you could stop and ask yourself, hey, wait a second, the car didn't start. Maybe I shouldn't be doing what I'm doing. Let me think for a minute. Am I doing something wrong? Did I forget something inside? Meaning a person can live his life this way if he chooses to. But he has to live it recognizing we don't really know what God wants. We know 613 mitzvot. When it comes to the signs in our life, if you want to give them weight, so then you can. And for many people, this creates a beautiful life for them. But you always have to remember that the halacha did not allow us to make decisions based on sign. It allowed us to reconsider, to consider directions, and there's no mitzvah to live your life and think, maybe that's a sign, maybe that's a sign. You realize, I don't want to quote online the number of things people did because they thought they saw signs. But you can imagine how far this goes. You can imagine where people can get to with this type of formula. So we have guidelines. We have a Torah. We have a system. We have normal life. And that's our system. Now, are there signs and can you take them to mean something? Many people will swear that in their lifetime there have been consistent signs and that they've seen the hand of God in much of their life. And it's true. In many respects, a person should see God's hand in his life. But a person should also recognize that the greatest people, Moshe Rabbeinu, Avraham Avinu, had moments in their life where they had no explanation for what God wanted from them. And one of the dangers of living with signs is that people will sometimes go that route and then they're convinced God said so. So how could it turn out wrong? And that's one of the issues where people take it too far. I met a woman the other day whose husband was seriously abusive. And I asked her, does she want to get divorced? And she said, no. So, you know, I'm not going to convince her to get divorced. She said, you have to understand, I had a sign that I was supposed to marry him. And so it can't be wrong. So if that sign is what's going to get her to make it work, fine. I'm not going to tell her not. But if after numerous years of being abusive and her life's already in danger, and she's not willing to see any other way because she saw a sign, you realize where that can go? Saying, so that's where things can get very dangerous with signs. So again, who am I to say? But at the end of the day, we do not make decisions that way. We reconsider. You can consider and consider again, but the formula for making decisions has to be, what does Hashem want from me? Not what does this sign seem to indicate Hashem wants from me.
So, what would you say is the proper way to analyze what Hashem wants from us, starting as individuals? Because if we believe that we might see signs, you know, or God's hands, God watching over us somehow, you know, based on either, you know, profound thoughts we have or decisions we're making, and then something according to nature, like a shooting star or something, might indicate that, okay, you know, like God's behind us, He's got our back. You know, maybe this thought I had is true, is right, and then it ignites you to consider more directly what you know, whatever was going through your mind at the time, something like that. If obviously you can't make any concrete decisions based on that. That completely makes sense. But what is the proper way in which we're supposed to be making these decisions and strong considerations, regardless and according to what we might, you know, believe to be signs?
You have a Torah. You have logic. You have your own personality. We live in a generation that wants to absolve itself of responsibility. People want the rabbi to decide who they should marry, the rabbi to decide what job they should take, the rabbi to decide where they're going to live. The job of the Torah is to give you a formula a system that's correct, that'll help you work out life. But at the end of the day, living life means making decisions, means living the moment, means developing ourselves so that when we live the moment, we're living in accordance with ideals, we're living in accordance with the morality of the Torah, with the system of the Torah. But at the end of the day, I have to make a decision. Do I want to be a doctor or a lawyer? No, that's my choice. There are benefits to being a doctor, great. But no one else should make that decision for me. Do I want to marry this girl or that girl? I have to make that decision. I can consult with someone. I can ask, you know, does it make sense that A and B and C are bothering me? Does it make sense to continue with the girl? So I can think with someone. But we no longer have prophets. When you had a prophet, you could ask the prophet, tell me where to go. And he'd tell you, and that's it. You know what to do. We don't have prophets. So that's our responsibility. We have to live life. Again, you can consult, but you have to factor in Torah, logic, and your personality. Torah tells you the morality and the direction. Logic dictates you have to get a job, you have to get life insurance, right? There are certain things that logic dictates. Then your personality is going to look at the options that the first two presented you with and make the choice. Yeah, when you have a choice. The Torah very often gives you many choices.
And is there necessarily a right choice or a wrong choice then?
No. There isn't always a right and a wrong choice. I remember, this goes back about a decade and a half ago, maybe even more. About a decade and a half ago. A friend of mine, his mother was diagnosed with tumor, which they had operated on numerous times, and the doctor said she had 6 months left to live. So she had no husband, no relatives to speak of, and this one son. So she sent in the question, given the odds of the success of the chemotherapy and the dangers in the chemotherapy and her situation and her medical history. She put together all the medical information and asked what she's supposed to do. So you know what the rabbi answered in her case. I'm saying, you know, each case is different. In her case, the rabbi said, do whatever you want. The odds are such that it's your decision. The halacha doesn't have a say. It's not a situation where the halacha says you have to fight for your life because who says the chemo is going to extend your... Whatever, I don't want to go into the whole halachic thought behind it. But at the end of the day, in her scenario, the halacha said, it's her choice. She's the one that's going to bite the bullet either way she goes. So, it's her choice. In that scenario, there are situations where the halacha says, you have an ingrown toenail, I understand you don't want to deal with it, and it's going to become gangrene, and you're going to die. We're not going to let you do that. We're going to put you in a straitjacket and deal with your ingrown toenail, right? There are situations where the halacha forces the guy to deal with something. But there are also situations where the halacha says, no, I don't have a say on the matter. It's your call. Should I marry girl one or girl two? They both look good to me. I don't know. Your call. The halacha doesn't always have a say. Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
I understand.